Please turn with me this morning to Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 3 and verse 28. Romans chapter 3, verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. We're picking up in our short series in the five solas of the Reformation that we began at the beginning of the month when we considered the first of them. That is sola scriptura, scripture alone. And we, if you remember, we saw that the five solas were not a list of things that were drawn up at the time of the Reformation, but rather they are a summary of the teaching that was recovered at the Reformation that was popularized in the 1800s and later. Helps us to think about the great heritage we have as we approach the 500th anniversary of the event we consider as the launch, if you like, of the main thrust of the Reformation, when Martin Luther nailed those 95 theses to the door of the Wittenberg Castle Church. Last time we saw sola scriptura, that is, that all we need to know regarding justification, indeed all we need to know for life, for this present life, is contained within the Word of God. And it's within the Word of God alone. And nothing should be added to the Word of God, whether it is church tradition or whether it is human reasoning. That the Word of God is inspired, infallible, authoritative, and that its subject from cover to cover is Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Now, it tends to go first in the list because the other things are all built upon it. We said, of course, that the Reformers had a couple of major concerns. First, to find out what God had actually said in His Word, and then to do as God had said in His Word. But the great and burning question for every person is the same today as it was then, indeed, as it was at any point in history. The question is this: we believe that God is, and that He has spoken, and that He is just and holy, and we know that we are sinful. The great question is this: how can I be right with God? How can I be right with God? How can God ever accept me? The fact that men were sinners was not disputed. It wasn't a teaching that had to be disputed at the time of the Reformation. But how can sinful men and women be accepted by a holy God? We all need to be justified. That is, we need to be declared to be righteous in the sight of God. And I've mentioned it before. That concertina I first saw as a teenager in Bible class. I think my dad did it. And the word justified, and he pulled it out, and it spread out to say, just as if I'd never sinned. All hidden within the word justified. And a bit simple, but a helpful way of thinking about the word. It's just as if I'd never sinned. We're declared to be righteous. Whatever we've said, whatever we thought, whatever we've been, whatever we've done. And the five solas onus of the Reformation, they define what justification is. This morning we come to the second of them. And the first two, many say, are the greatest two, the main two principles: scripture alone, and this morning, sola fide. What's that? Faith alone. Faith alone. What does it mean that we are justified by faith alone? We saw here, as we read some passages from Romans, Paul says, we conclude that a man is justified by faith. What is faith? Faith is the means by which God makes us right or justifies us. And it is the only means. Part of our text this morning was the one that finally brought Martin Luther to understand this truth. Quoting from Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4, It's found in Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11 and Hebrews 10:38. The just shall live by faith. Now we need to understand. We're not saved. We're not made right with God by the act of our faith, as if we do something, although it is true that faith is something which we exercise. There is human action involved. We do exercise faith, but we know that faith itself is a gift from God. And it's the instrument that God's chosen to use. The only one. Our text makes this very point. The law, that is God's perfect standard of righteousness, can't save anybody because we can't keep it. We can't meet his standards. We'd always fail. That's something we can't manage. But what Paul is doing in the letter to the Romans is building up an argument which shows that whilst the Jews have had great advantages in having God's revelation and God's law and standards by which to live, that the law could not save them or anyone else, but only ultimately condemns them and everyone else. The law condemns the Gentiles too. Romans 2:15, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. Everyone is condemned by the law. Now tonight we're going to look at sola gratia, grace alone. But it's important to distinguish between faith alone and grace alone. God is gracious, of course we know that. We all stand in need of his grace and his mercy. God's riches at Christ's expense. But we have to believe in what God has done for us. We have to believe in God's grace. We have to receive God's grace. How do we do that? By faith. Faith is the instrument. Faith is the means that God has chosen to use. We know what God has done. We see what God has done. We may know all about it, but we have to believe on it. We have to exercise faith in what God has done. Faith in the grace of God. Faith in God. Faith in what God has done in and through Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. That's the means by which God justifies us. Martin Luther spoke about faith as is written on this woodcut, which is in front of me, which I admit is very hard to read from the distance. You have a look later. I bought it. It's hanging on the wall in my living room normally. I bought it in this morning. Thought I'd leave it there during the day today. What does it say? I'll tell you, because you probably can't read it. Faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that a man could stake his life on it 1,000 times. Faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that a man could stake his life on it 1,000 times. By faith, we receive for ourselves the finished work of Christ on Calvary's cross. Something which was done separate from us, outside of us. Righteousness, which is not our own, it's his. And which we know, if we trust in Christ, is now counted as ours. His work on Calvary counts as our work. It's amazing. And this was the very opposite, the polar opposite of what the Roman Catholic Church taught in the time of the Reformation and indeed today. Just as we saw last time that every man-made system says, oh yes, Scripture is important, but it must always be Scripture plus, Bible plus, Bible plus something else. Every man-made system teaches faith plus. It's always the same. It's not hard to spot what is false and what is true. It's the same in every one of these things that we consider. Every one of the five solas. What is true is these things and these things alone. What is false is each of these things plus something else. It's always the same. You might say to me, well, I've always believed these things. It's not new to me. It's not exciting to me. Well, God have mercy on you if it's not exciting to you. It might not be new, but it's always exciting. It sets up a great contrast. We're declared righteous before God, justified by faith and not by works, not by even our works, but the works of Jesus Christ on our behalf. So every man-made system around us, every false doctrine teaches that faith is important, but we need faith and something else, or more than one thing. But how can we ever know what the scripture calls the peace which passes all understanding if even the slightest part of our justification, of our salvation, hangs on us? Oh, faith's important, but you've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and you've got to do the other thing. If you stake your life on your own good works, you'll never have peace. Faith, Luther said, is so sure and certain that a man could stake his life on it 1,000 times, living daring confidence in God's grace. Our confidence is in him, not in ourselves. But then people say, well, look, it all sounds too easy. How can we just believe and do nothing and be right with God? And this is where some Christians again have gone the wrong way. There was a group, not so common now, but certainly had its heyday at a time, called the Sandemanians, who followed the teaching of a man with a similar sounding name. And he taught that, you know, all you had to do was just assent to the truths in God's word. Just, yes, yes, I accept that, I accept that, I accept that. All right, well, you're a Christian then. And people say, well, they caricature biblical Christianity. They say, well, that's what it is. And how can it be like that? It's just too easy. But the reality is this, that those who truly believe, those who have saving faith, are not only justified, but they are being sanctified. That is, God changes us and continues to work in us to make us more holy, more and more like Jesus Christ. And that is why James says, James chapter 2 verse 17, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And then he says, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. That's in verse 24. Now, we have to mention these verses because immediately people think of them, or they turn to them. And many who oppose faith alone will turn to them and say, well, there you go, that proves it. We're not saved by faith alone. But you know, to make that appeal, you have to deny the very first sola. That is, that all that we need to know is contained in Scripture alone. That Scripture is sufficient. Because you have to rely on outside authorities to say one part of Scripture is more important than another part. So what James says, oh, that we need works to be saved, that overrides so much of the testimony of the rest of the Scripture that the just shall live by faith. That we are saved by faith alone. Well, how do we deal with it? We use the principles that Scripture itself lays down. We compare spiritual things with spiritual. 1 Corinthians 2:13. And it will sound very convincing if somebody comes to you with James chapter 2 and says, well, look, it's very clear. Sounds very convincing until you do just two things. Only need to do two things. First, you need to read the rest of Scripture or get an understanding of it, and realize that the Scripture teaches justification by faith alone over and over and over and over again. And then you look at what James is actually saying. You don't just read a couple of verses, you read the whole thing. And you take it in context. And you realise that James is not arguing differently from... He argues in his own way, he has his own style. He's a bit more, shall we say, he's leaning one way more than the other. He's trying to point out that people should be doing good works, Christians. They shouldn't just have empty lives. But he's not arguing more or less than Jesus Christ did, when he said, you will know them by their fruits. And he's not arguing more or less than Paul did, as we saw on Thursday, when he was writing to Titus. He's not arguing any different from any of the others. It isn't enough, you see, to say, I have faith. Because if you actually do have faith, then your life will display that, demonstrate that, in a variety of different ways. And it varies from person to person, but there will be common areas, of course. By your commitment, by your witness, by your service, by your good reputation, and so on and so forth. And we know that faith, saving faith, must bring forth good works, because people are being changed by the power of Christ. But we know this, and we also know that none of it, nothing we ever do, even contributes a tiny fraction of even a percentage to the fact that before you do anything pleasing in the sight of God, you have been justified and made right with God. And that any good and God-glorifying thing that you may think or say or do is merely proof of the work that God has done in you. What he has already done for you. And in thinking on this wonderful truth, again I'll make no apology for reading briefly from the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, chapter 11, the first two paragraphs, summing up the scripture's teaching so well. Those whom God effectually calls, he also freely justifies, not by infusing righteousness into them, but by pardoning their sins, and accounting and accepting them as righteous, not for anything wrought in them or done by them, but for Christ's sake alone. Not by imputing faith itself, the act of believing, or any other evangelical obedience to them as their righteousness, but by imputing Christ's active obedience unto the whole law, and passive obedience in his death for their whole and sole righteousness, they receiving and resting on him and his righteousness by faith, which faith they have not of themselves, it is the gift of God. Faith, thus receiving and resting on Christ and his righteousness, is the only instrument of justification. Yet, it is not alone in the person who is justified, but is always accompanied with all other saving graces, and is no dead faith, but works by love. And yes, that is a rich couple of paragraphs. It rewards your own attention and your reading. And if you take up a copy of the Baptist Confession, if you want one, you can always ask. You can go and look at all the scripture proofs that are listed under each point that is made. And we can think that's a bit complex, but the very last part is the key part. Faith, thus receiving and resting on Christ and his righteousness, is the only instrument of justification. And friends, it's so important. You might say, oh, well, okay, I understand it. It's in Reformed doctrine. It's important that we should have these things. We should know these things, I suppose. We need to remember this. It's so key. Because as I've said, this isn't just the grounds of our justification before God, as important as that is, but it's the grounds of all our hope and all our peace. And there's none without it. None, because you always end up resting on yourself. And you know who you are. And you know what you've done. And you know the times you've messed up. Oh, if it depends on me, I'm lost. Satan loves nothing more. But he loves nothing more than keeping people from turning to Christ. So he sees it from his point of view. But beyond that, when someone's a Christian, he loves nothing more than to rob a Christian of their joy and peace in believing. And to fill their minds with doubts and fears and sorrows and griefs. That's what he loves to do. Faith is the only way by which we can take hold of what Christ has done for us. And we'll speak more about what Christ has done for us when we look at grace alone tonight. And to be honest, to an extent, it could be easier to look at both of these things at the same time. But they are distinct, and it needs to be clear in our minds. We are justified by faith and not by works. If even the tiniest part of our salvation depended on us, we would utterly fail. We have to say with Top Lady the hymn writer, "Nothing in my hand I bring, nothing. Simply to thy cross I cling." That's faith. It's all what Christ has done. We're going to speak more about what Christ has done tonight. But we know it. Faith is that hand. That empty hand. That trembling hand. That reaches out. Says, "Christ is all. He is my Saviour. And I trust in him and what he has done." And these truths are glorious, and contrary to what some people say, they exalt God and they humble man. They lift man, though, even though they are humbling truths, they lift man from despair to unshakable and firm hope. Why? Because it's all outside of me and it's all in Christ. He cannot fail. God doesn't pour his righteousness into us. That's a misconception. But rather, he who is righteous declares us righteous and continues to do so. And it all, always depends on him. And God is so good. You see, he doesn't make us right with him and then let us loose. Let's say you had some debts. You had some debts. A friend comes to you and says, "I hear you're in some financial trouble. I have a lot of money. Here, let me pay your bills, pay your debts." And then off you go and on with your life. How thankful you would be to your friend. How pleased. But what Christ does for us is greater than that. Far greater. You see, if somebody pays your debts, "Oh, my credit cards are paid off. Oh, my loans are gone. Oh, suddenly there seems like there's money in the bank every month. Oh, wonderful. Oh, now I'm going to buy this and this and this." And before long, you're in debt again. "Well, didn't your friend pay off all your..." "Oh, yes, he did. But then I was free just to go on with my life and..." "Oh, dear. I got into debt again." When God justifies man, a woman, a boy or a girl and sets his love upon them, yes, he declares you righteous. And he covers your sins. Day after day after day, as you repent and you seek to live a life bringing glory to God, he declares you righteous, not just once, but for all eternity. Your debt isn't forgiven once and then it starts to build up again. Your debt is forgiven. That's the difference. That's why we can have such hope, unshakable hope. That's why Paul could conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. We could never keep it up. God declares me righteous. He forgives all my sins. And within moments, I've sinned again in some way and it's all lost. No. We know that Christ has kept the law perfectly and that his righteousness, that righteousness which is uniquely his, covers us. As we read in Psalm 32, as Paul quotes in Romans 4, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Dear friend, have you been justified? Have you been justified? What good is it to hear about this and not to have this? Is your sin covered? It must be only covered by Christ, or there will be no covering of it. Are you waiting for something? What are you waiting for? Sometimes people say, oh, I'm not sure, I don't know, I'm not good enough. Nobody's good enough. Jesus Christ is perfect and righteous and holy. But I've done things, you just don't know what I've done, you don't know what I've said, you don't know the things that I've done in the past. Just read your Bible. What kind of people do you see in your Bible? Who wrote these words here? It's the Apostle Paul. Who was he? A murderer. You a murderer? Maybe, I don't know. There's no work too hard for Christ. If you trust in him, he forgives you your sin. You're justified by faith. What are you waiting for? You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be saved. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. We are justified by faith alone. It couldn't be any other way. There's no peace any other way. There's no hope any other way. There is no salvation any other way. We bless the Lord that his word is so very clear. The just shall live by faith. Have you been justified? May you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Amen.
Amen.